Vision, Master Key. What is the justification for labeling vision as the master key? Dr. Einstein, world-famous physicist, made this statement about Mary Baker Eddy and the textbook Science and Health. Einstein stated about Mary Baker Eddy and the textbook as follows. Blessed art thou, for all that is in this book. He even capitalized the word thou, putting her at the highest level possible in addressing someone. And of course, the book, no one could say anything more premium about it than what he stated. For he spent his life researching the physical world. And he's saying that everything that is true about the physical world that he had discovered is already included in what Mary Baker Eddy had stated some 80 years before that. Because he also said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. I don't think there could be a higher compliment stated by anyone with the authority that he had than what he stated about Mary Baker Eddy and the textbook. Imagine all of the years that he spent in his research could have been eliminated if he would have just started by reading Science and Health in the early years of his adulthood. For she had already finished the final copy, which was in 1910. And Dr. Einstein isn't really the final authority on Mary Baker Eddy or the textbook, but the results of what the textbook has brought about and the sincere study of all of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. That's the authority. Mary Baker Eddy herself refers to the effectiveness of Christian Science on mankind. And she said it is proven to be true by its results, by the transformation of thought of individuals, by the healings that were openly recognized as being of the effect of the study of Christian Science. What important quotes does Mary Baker Eddy offer at the very beginning of the very first textual content of this masterpiece textbook? The first one is from John chapter 8, 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second quote is from Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third is from Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. There's the summary of the textbook in three short quotes. Number one, we need to know the truth. Number two, thinking has the total impact on our experience. And number three, the results of one and two are that we are blessed. We are individually blessed. And that is God's desire. In other words, that is a part of the qualities of God, divine principle, that we are blessed, and that God is omnipresent. And of course, blessing is a description of love. Love represents fulfillment, success, wholeness, completeness. Mary Baker Eddy defines God in chapter 14, Recapitulation, which is a summary of the first 13 chapters, which is considered Science and Health, whereas the last four chapters, 15 through 18, are considered key to the Scriptures. So if we want to really find out what the key is, and if this statement about vision being the key, then we need to look in those chapters 15 through 18. If we want to find out all the details of what Christian Science is about, then we would focus on chapters 1 through 13, which is summarized in chapter 14 in a question and answer format. Mary Baker Eddy gives us all of the tools, the details, and the key to understanding the details. And if the introductory quotes are viewed as the theme to the details, then it is an inescapable fact that vision must be considered in all of the studying that is done of the textbook. In returning to the first three introductory quotes again, the first one about ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, how are we going to know anything unless we have vision? The second quote, about there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Vision is the key to the thinking. And of course, the third quote, where she states that, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Obviously, we're not even going to realize that we have a blessing unless we exercise vision. So from beginning to end, if there is one word that could best describe what the focus should be in all of our studying, it seems to point to the word vision. How is one viewing whatever they're looking at? Whatever word, whatever phrase, whatever thought, whatever theme, whatever summary that one desires to focus on will be directly related to the vision of the viewer. We are the viewer, individually, collectively, and universally. The viewer is the one that is actively exercising vision. One Christian Science author indicated sight was in three categories: hindsight, insight, and foresight. That obviously is a relative viewpoint. but at least it's a start. What we want to strive for is the absolute fact, not a relative viewpoint. Mary Baker Eddy, in a letter to a student, the title of which was Vision, asked the student, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? There's the key, vision. What is one tuning into? Mr. Winslow indicates that we should imagine ourselves in a room that has a telephone and on the opposite side is a radio. The radio is announcing only the facts about God because it is tuned into the station KOG, Kingdom of God, whereas the phone is constantly ringing, trying to get the attention of someone to pick it up and listen. Listen to mortal mind suggestions. Let mortal mind get the foot in the door so that it can wedge its way totally inside our consciousness. When Bliss Knapp was a young boy, I think it was 8 or 10 years old, his mother had passed on, and so he accompanied his father, who had a meeting with Mary Baker Eddy. And before they excused themselves to go into a private room, Mary Baker Eddy gave a fan to Bliss. It apparently was a warm day, and the common thought would have been, this is to cool your face. But he later learned that the real value of that fan was a symbol for separating truth from error. Remember the first quote to the details of science and health, which was from John, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, that's the purpose of the fan. Separating truth from error so that we can know and focus on truth. Jesus certainly did focus on truth when he was walking down the road. And he would notice an individual that was in need of healing. One of the things that he asked the individual was, do you have faith that you can be healed? He was looking for someone, this is Jesus, that had an open thought and felt there was a possibility of healing. Not someone that was not only blind to it, but had no possibility of having their thought open in order to give the healing an opportunity to take place. Ego, even though it might be involuntary, is the main problem. It is the ego that one is born with when they are believing in a sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, and that birth is from matter, that birth is composed of the substance of matter, that our body is matter. The fact is that our body is our consciousness. Everything we're thinking about, everything we're doing, everything we're saying, this is our body. It is the containment of our little world, our experience. Remember what Shakespeare said, "There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Consider two different people looking at the same object. It could be an individual, it could be a sculpture, it could be a sunrise, sunset, a lake, beautiful lake, could be anything. Chances are they are not going to have exactly the same view. In other words, they're not going to be translating what they are looking at exactly the same way. There are approximately 8.3 billion people in the world. And that's exactly how many different viewpoints that exist. On any given subject, any given object, event, relationship, or anything else, at the same moment, there's going to be 8.3 billion different views. God is defined by Mary Baker Eddy as infinite individuality. That doesn't say anything about different individual views being incorrect, or that one is correct and the other is incorrect. Now, one could be correct and one could be incorrect, but that again is an interpretation, a viewpoint. Mary Baker Eddy gives us the guidepost so that we can properly come to a conclusion on the correct viewpoint, at least based on what our understanding is at that moment. What is that guidepost? Well, there's many, but to start with, it's the definition of God. In the glossary, she states that God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. And then she gives us the seven synonymous terms: principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. And then a kicker, just to make sure we don't forget, all-substance, intelligence. Substance is defined as being included in spirit. She defines spirit as substance. And intelligence is included in omniscience, and omniscience is included in mind. She defines also in the glossary, under the word good, that good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. In other places, she defines omniscience as including intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And remember, she defines all of them with the prefix of O-M-N-I. That means all. If it's all, it's the only. And it's one. So it's the one, only, and all. So there's only one omnipotence. Otherwise, omnipotence couldn't be omni. It would have to just be power. One power here, one power there. But God is omni, so God is the one, only, and all. And in fact, that's with everything about God. God is omni, everything. Mr. Rossin, one of the most successful practitioners of all time, said that there is nothing but God. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy has stated that many different ways. He healed a man that had a load of rocks dumped on him by making that statement. There is nothing but God. And the man jumped out like a rocket coming up through the pile of rocks that was on top of him, totally unscratched, unaffected at all by the mesmeric thought that something could cover up an idea of God and injure an idea of God, maybe kill an idea of God. He reversed all that by just making the statement, there is nothing but God. Five words. Now, obviously, him being able to make that statement and have that effect by making the statement was not just some glib repetition of something that he read or heard, but it was the result of his conviction about what John refers to in that first quote, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And also, Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, I am blessed. Mr. Rawson understood all of these things completely to the tune that he could make that statement and connect the truth with what was being seen from a human level. He did like Jesus. He translated automatically to the spiritual level, converting a defect in a viewpoint, which was an accident, into the reality of truth, which is perfection. Mary Baker Eddy defines spirit as flawless, transparent, and reflective. Anything at all that one could be looking at that is absolutely flawless could be a symbol for that very thing. Since Mary Baker Eddy states in the Key to the Scriptures, which includes the glossary, that's chapter 17, and remember I mentioned that chapters 15 through 18 were the key to the Scriptures. That's where we should look for the definition of God if we want to see the key to the details. Remember, the details are chapter 1 through 13, summarized in chapter 14. The key is 15 to 18. The glossary is in chapter 17. Creation is chapter 15. The apocalypse, which is Jesus dictating to John on the island of Patmos, the apocalypse. Chapter 16, that's the view of the new heaven and the new earth. 17 is the glossary, and 18 is 100 pages of 476 different ailments that are cured, and it says, by reading Science and Health. I think it probably means by focusing with total effort and consecration of a spiritual uplifted thought to translate and interpret what it means to what the individual is facing. In other words, they were focusing on what had come their way, which are 476 problems or mesmeric suggestions in Recapitulation, chapter 14, which is the science and health details, she defines God as being incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Note that she has the order of the seven synonymous terms differently than she does in chapter 17, the glossary. The glossary, she states it as principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. Principle, mind, soul, spirit. And in chapter 14, she states it as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Now, the way it's stated in chapter 14, the order is exactly the way the themes are in the seven important paragraphs of Genesis chapter 1. And that's considered the order of the days of creation. And in each case, it includes the word let. God said, let this happen, let that happen, and so forth. And then he says, and then it says that God created, or it says, let us make, let us do it, let us do it. In other words, it's the open thought of the individual doing the letting with the fact that it's already done. What I believe it really means is let yourself recognize, let yourself have the vision to see what is already true. Remember, John says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall understand what truth is. Ye shall see it. Ye shall have the vision to see the meat of the situation, the real facts, the real substance of what's going on and what already is. Are we going to do it? Remember, God is infinite individuality. We are infinite individuality objects, symbols of God's ideas. Some of us will be very slow at recognizing it. Others will be very fast. But what we want to have as a backstop or a floor is to be like the turtle. Steady progress. No back steps. No sleeping along the way like the rabbit in the race with the turtle. And the turtle wins because the rabbit is sleeping. Mary Baker Eddy quotes the Bible. And she says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. In fact, guess what that is a preface to, that quote? Chapter 14, the summary of the first 13 chapters. She's quoting from Isaiah. She says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Well, that's the preface to the summary of all 13 chapters that preceded it. She has stated very succinctly, do not try to get there in one step. She said, it is a lifetime of effort. She says, infinite progress is concrete being. Or I think she says, infinite progression is concrete being. Infinite progression. In other words, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. One step at a time. It's not whether or not we did something big today or this moment. It is, are we building the foundation step by step? One step at a time. Be the turtle. Be stable, but moving forward. Don't worry about the speed that you're moving forward. Be concerned about whether you're doing it on a strong foundation. If we don't understand something, we go back and study it again. In fact, the real Christian Scientist will continuously read Science and Health from beginning to end. In other words, read it, which is really meant to be studying it from beginning to end, and when they're done, go back and start over. Devote their whole life as one part of their study to be going from beginning to end in Science and Health continuously. It's been stated before that I believe the best way to learn is to record what you're reading and rewrite it in your own thoughts, in your own words. You'd be amazed what will unfold to your speech if you only focus on listening and recording. Thoughts will come out and you'll be recording it. And then if you go back and listen to it, which I highly recommend, you will say something like this. Wow, where did that come from? In other words, you didn't realize when you said it what you were saying. You didn't think about it in advance. It wasn't from you. It was the divine unfoldment, the revelation, the same exact thing that Mary Baker Eddy herself experienced when she was a scribe unto orders, as she was recording the divine message from God, as she was writing as fast as she could write to record Science and Health. That is a wonderful experience to have things come forth from your own mouth, what's really the mouth of God, because there's nothing human about it. That is one of the most beautiful things that takes place if you will only record, record, record. Rarely does anyone do it. I do it all the time. In fact, all you have to do is look on the Mary Baker Eddy website and you can see the large quantity of treatments. Those are all extemporaneous. Nothing is prepared in advance. Nothing. I listened to them like Mary Baker Eddy said she studied Science and Health. She supposedly wrote it, but it really was written by God, so she had to go back and study it. I get thoughts when I record, and I go back and listen to them. This is after they're posted on the website. I never edit anything. And also, you'll see there's some rough spots in there. Probably some improper grammar, improper pronunciations. I don't care. This is the way it came to me. This is the way it was said. I didn't polish it. She was making a textbook, so she obviously had to polish it. In fact, I believe it was 1907, she totally rearranged everything in science and health. Totally. And that's when she made the statement on page 146, starting with line 31, that divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. The complete statement is, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Very short, but one of the most important sentences you can read in the entire textbook. Or actually, it looks like two sentences. Very, very important. Why do I say that? Because almost no one gives a second thought to those two very important statements. If you ask 1,000 Christian Scientists, or let's say 10, to keep it reasonable, I'll bet you not a single one has given it a thought. It's just like when someone reads the manual and it says that it requires Mary Baker Eddy's signature. Nobody gives it a thought. How long has it been since Mary Baker Eddy could sign a document? 113 years. She left in 1910. And yet, the church in Boston carries on business without her signature, which is totally against what is in the manual. It's available for everyone to read. Matter of fact, if you want to be official, read the last one that she wrote, not one that has been revised by a bureaucracy. We have it on our website, the 1910. Final edition of Science and Health, and the final edition of all of her 16 books, including the manual. She herself did not realize that the textbook was being dictated to her with a system included in it. Would someone like to perform a mathematical calculation with a total disregard for the system? Total disregard for the mathematical multiplication or addition tables? Would you like to start from scratch? Trial and error, trying to figure out what math is all about? Or do you want to start with the system that has been discovered prior to you ever thinking about mathematics? When I study Christian Science, I start and end with the system. Inspiration is in the middle. I start with the definition of God. And in many of these treatments, I recite the definition of God at the beginning or somewhere. That's my guidepost. She has it stated many different ways. I mentioned two of them here, one in chapter 14 and one in the glossary. She states it on page 115. She states it throughout the textbook. Throughout the entire textbook. God, 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 God. God is this, God is that. One can start anywhere they feel inspired to start. $8.3 billion salvations being worked out. I'm not here to work out your salvation. You're not here to work out my salvation. Mary Baker Eddy says that we will keep plenty busy taking care of our own business without meddling in the business of someone else. We each have our own salvation to individually work out. God works with those who work. What is God doing? God has already done it. The qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are there to be utilized, to be reflected. We have to study and understand them on an increasing, infinite scale. Every time, if we did go through and read the textbook from beginning to end, and when we got to the end, we started over again, if we did that throughout our entire life, I guarantee that every time we read it, we would get something fresh. A zillion things that we would get fresh. That's why it's important to record it. Or if you have a phobia about having a recording device, you know, write it down if you want to be archaic. You can't write as fast as you can talk. But if that's your comfortable way of communicating, write it. If you don't want to write and you don't want to record, then think it. Some people have a photographic memory. I know a fellow that spent many years incarcerated. It was all a fraud. He was never charged with anything. The judge just overreached, totally overreached, put him into jail on a contempt of court basis and kept him there for many years. He did that to the wrong man, because the guy he did that with just happened to be one of the most brilliant people on this earth. And he finally got his case to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, you either charge him and go to trial, or you release him. They didn't want to go to trial. They didn't want to charge him because he was innocent. He had all the facts. He would have exposed the corruption of the entire American judicial system from beginning to end. That's what's being done now. Thanks to our former, well, he's still the president, but thanks to the individual that is not publicly promoting his real authority, that's what he's doing. Exposing the corrupt judicial system. They've already hung one of the Supreme Court judges a long time ago, a couple of years ago. It's all public information. If you know where to look. Just like the one that is the head of the country where we're sending so much money, almost $1 trillion we've sent over there to fight another country. The head of that country is hiding out. He's not at the UN meeting. The UN meeting is a body double. The one that uses the name of being the president of the United States right now, he's not over there. It's a body double. This is all public information. You know, the whole world is being tricked. Well, not the whole world. Some of us know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need to know the truth about everything. We don't want to believe anything without using the fan, like Mary Baker Eddy gave to Bliss Knapp when he was a young boy. We've got to separate. We've got to take that number two step in Genesis. The firmament. Separate the waters above the firmament and the waters below the firmament. If we don't do the sorting, the filtering at the beginning of whatever we are exposed with, whatever comes our way, then we take it in, then we've got a multiple of the effort involved to clean it up, compared to what we would have if we never let it come in. Viewpoint. The master key. Vision, the master key. Are we going to take advantage of it? Intelligence. There's a treatment on intelligence that was just provided on the website a couple of days ago, 21st. Intelligence. It's in depth, talks about where is the intelligence coming from. Remember the word omni? Omniscience? Omni-intelligence, omni-knowing, omni-wisdom. Everything is omni with God because God is all there is. All we're doing is being a reflection, if we will do what it says in Genesis chapter 1, are we going to get our little ego out of the way? Our little bit of nothing? Are we going to be really a raindrop that counts? Are we going to be part of a flood of truth? Or are we going to be a little bit of nothingness, which is matter, with an ego as tall as a skyscraper? One of the most spiritually advanced individuals, who did not happen to be a Christian Scientist, but he really was, he just didn't know it. Someone asked him how he could make so much progress. He was doing so many good things for humanity. He said, "One day I bent lower and lower and lower to the ground until my head was on the dirt." And he said, "I realized that I was nothing at all. Nothing. That the only thing that was something was God." He probably didn't even know any real substantial details about what God is, such as we learn in Christian Science, but he knew it was a power that was far above a human personality, one that was not limited, like human personality is limited. And when he came to that realization, he was able to set aside himself. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, her most wonderful healings came about when she put Mary aside. Well, that's when this individual really started to take off in his spiritual accomplishments for the world. When Mary Baker Eddy said she had her greatest healings. In fact, when she was accused of being prayerless, she sent a statement to the world that said, I pray. She didn't argue with them. She just stated what the truth was, like Jesus. When the devil, supposedly a devil, tried to tempt him three different ways, he didn't argue with the devil. He just plainly stated the truth, which was the opposite of what he was being accused of. Mary Baker Eddy did the same thing. She stated the truth. She said, I pray three times a day with my face toward the Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. She prays for those who are having problems. Doesn't know their name. She does it universally for everyone. As stated in other recent treatments, Daniel did it, and that was at the risk of being thrown into the lion's den. Of course, we know what happened there. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They went into the fiery furnace, and the people that threw them in there were burned alive. But they were untouched. John survived being put into a pot of boiling oil. We started a new page on the website, Pray for Humanity. We stated the statement by Mary Baker Eddy about her praying three times a day. Are we going to do it? We need to exercise vision, which is a quality of mind, about every other quality. We have to have vision when we're thinking about substance, when we're thinking about soul, which is spiritual scent, when we're considering principle, which is system and structure, when we're contemplating life, which is eternal multiplication, living the qualities of God, truth. Consciousness and motive. That's our standard that we're going to utilize as our foundation. It's truth. Truth is the healer. Do we need vision when we're considering love? Love is nurturing all of the other qualities. Motherhood. That's what love is. Life is considered fatherhood. Truth is considered sonship. Christ was a symbol for that. Mary Baker Eddy, the symbol for motherhood. if we don't use vision in love, we're probably going to end up dishing out the wrong kind of love. Probably going to be emotional, human love, instead of divine, spiritual love. Love represents plan and design. Do we need vision when we're utilizing a plan and design or creating a plan and design about anything? Are we even thinking about love when we are dealing with a plan and design? Quickly, here are the operators. Just like math has add, subtract, multiply, and divide, the digits do no good by themselves unless we apply the operators. The synonyms for God are passive unless we apply the operators. The operators to divine metaphysics, the system that Mary Baker Eddy delivered to us about 1906 or 1907, is the system whereby four very important active words are related to the seven synonymous terms. And the clue is in the definition of God on page 465, whereby she says God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Those represent the functions of the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. Incorporeal is the Word, meaning that the facts about God, there's nothing at all about the facts about God that are corporeal, period. God is totally incorporeal. We cannot even begin to realize what God is all about until we recognize that we've been barking up the wrong tree up to the point that we're ready to make the change, that we're ready to start transitioning from matter to spirit, replacing the lie upon lie that has been coming our way since day one, and that we start fanning, like Bliss Knapp did, separating truth from error. Are we ready? We can't do it prematurely, or we will take up the roots of the truth. It has to mature in our thought where we realize that it's time. That's the word. When we realize that, then we can be studying seriously the definition of God and all the tens of thousands of words that are related to it. The entire English vocabulary, which is hundreds of thousands of words, is divided basically into those 11 things. The seven synonymous terms and the four operators. So that's the word. The Christ, Jesus was a great example of, because what he did is he translated, he interpreted what he was faced with and converted it to a spiritual reality. In other words, the idea of God was not a blind man or a leprous man or a dead girl or a dead Lazarus or a sinful Mary Magdalene or anything else. The individual is and always has been an idea of God in their true spiritual light. And that's what Jesus was an expert about. Translating. The third one is demonstrating. That's Christianity. Once we have learned a little bit about what God is in terms of just the terms and their functions, and we are making an effort to translate what comes our way into seeing the spiritual reality of what God's idea is and every activity that's related to God's idea, then we're prepared to start to demonstrate. That's Christianity. And when we've demonstrated a better concept, then the natural evolution is healing. But if we're going after the healing, before we go after the improvement of our consciousness, we're wasting our time. We're not trying to heal a broken arm or a broken leg or a broken relationship or damage from a storm or whatever. We're trying to heal the viewpoint, the vision. That's what we're trying to heal. We want to transform the vision from a material to a spiritual basis. That's what the demonstration is all about. Healing automatically comes when we do that. In fact, if you listen to most sincere testimonies, they will say that the healing was wonderful, but the real thing that they remember is the improvement in their transformed thought. That was the transformed thought that made the impact on them that's lifelong. The healing became secondary. Once we have the demonstration, in other words, the transformation of thought, which automatically brings healing, then we go into the real serious thing, and that's the science. The science is what Mary Baker Eddy talks about in the system that I read to you, page 146, line 31. And it's on every page of our website because it's in the header. It's so important we put it in the header. It's on every single page of the website. Mary Baker Eddy Institute, or MBE, excuse me. It's Mary Baker Eddy Institute is the name of the institute, but MBEinstitute.org is the name of the website, or .com. They both go to the same place. That's where we can really make a transformation on the world. Referring people to the website. Gaining something out of these treatments and the references that you read. We've got the entire science and health broken down into subtitles. Subtitles. Little things indented. That is a summary of the paragraph. The whole thing is broken down. You can work from your cell phone anywhere that you have internet. Or if you've got one that will hold memory, you can download it all. You don't even have to have internet to study it. If you've got a portable device that can store it, all the tools you need are on the Mary Baker Eddy website. We don't charge anything for it, but as stated, a few times, you're not going to get much out of it if you don't pay anything. How can you pay? Well, first of all, you can start devoting more time to study. Tithe your time, 10% of your time, 2.4 hours a day. You can pay for those who are making these things available. Make a donation. Everyone at the Mary Baker Eddy Institute is a volunteer. Some of us devote 7 days a week. Some of us work 18 hours a day. All for the website. No charges to the website. Don't take a penny out of the website. In fact, we put our own money into the website to pay for the programmers. Why? Most people want something for nothing, that's why. We get compliments continuously about how great the website is. How often do they make a contribution? No, well, that's a different story. You got it free. Why should I pay anything? Why should I donate anything? Well, that's their loss. The more someone invests in what they do, in every form that they can do it, every form, thought, speech, and action, walk the talk. You appreciate something, pay for it. You appreciate something, study more deeply. You appreciate something, tell other people about it. There's many ways you can pay if you absolutely don't have money to buy food for your table. You can still tell other people. Well, anyway, the science means that we have demonstrated it, and we are living automatically in the spiritual life. We are in it. We're in the kingdom of God. We're experiencing the kingdom of God. Doesn't do a bit of good if we know everything there is to know about mind, if we don't apply it, if we don't utilize it with what comes our way, if we don't demonstrate, prove it that we understand it, if we don't live it, if we don't think, say, and talk about it, think, say, and do it, doesn't do a bit of good. If we don't express gratitude, you're not going to get anything out of it. Don't give anything to the website. Don't make any contributions. Devote 3 minutes a day to study. Don't tell anybody about it. Those are three good ways to get nothing out of nothing. To get absolutely nothing. To make no progress. Then you wonder why you're not getting any healing. We have an article on the website about criticism. If you're wondering why you're not getting success in your healing work, are you criticizing anybody? Dr. Fluno was one of the early workers for Mary Baker Eddy, one of the first lecturers. It is highly recommended that you check out his thoughts on criticism. As you might agree, that's the opposite of gratitude. Mary Baker Eddy stated clearly that multiple times a day, she stopped what she was doing to make sure that she was not criticizing anyone about anything. Are we doing that? Are we criticizing? The opposite of gratitude is criticizing. It's like love and hate. If we're not loving, we're hating. If we're not grateful, we're criticizing. We can criticize by being passive. We can hate by being passive about love. Vision. 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 That is the master key to moving forward and upward. Dale Carnegie said, this is about criticism and vision. He's one of the most famous people about writing books about how to be successful. He said you better be careful about the criticism you make today Because tomorrow you may have exactly the opposite view. I close with the most dominating thought about God that comes to the surface at this moment. Repeating what Mr. Rawson said with such conviction that it should make an impact on all of us. There is nothing but God. Amen.